We're not gonna fight anymore.
I'm also just a girl.
Time to float.
Standing in front of a board.
Such a great audience!
Of all you talkers up in here, it's time to keep it down right now.
Avengers!
I've got to get me one of these!
It's alive!
Bombay!
Bombay!
Ready to party!
Welcome to When Cinephiles Attack, a movie podcast where four friends will test the limits of their friendship one final time. I'm Rashawn, and I'm here with...
Mella.
Josh.
And Lacey.
Thank you for pressing play and joining us for this goodbye. If you ever took the time out of your day to follow us on social media, email us, any kind of love that you brought our way, thank you so, so, so much. This is it.
This is it.
This is the end.
We did it.
You know how big a fan I am? So editing Rashawn, play The Last Midnight from Into the Woods.
You ain't no fucking Sondheim fan.
But
how do we feel, team?
We said this before when we first announced this. This is not a surprise. We knew this was coming. So like I'm at peace with it. And of course, never say never, you know? Who knows? We get bored. If we all lose our jobs, might be back. Yeah. I don't know. It's not goodbye, it's see you later.
Aww.
We're not like that's the thing is I'll miss interacting with the fans, but also they have our Instagram, so like they're not going anywhere, we're not going anywhere. It's just going to be through different means going forward, you know?
Memes.
Memes, yep.
Got no. It.
Beans with a B.
All
stop
three.
Talking about Into the Woods.
It didn't really like hit me until right now. Like we've been preparing for it, but saying it's the last episode and knowing this is the last time we'll be hopping on, it's sitting a little tight in my chest now.
Mm-hmm. I have read some of the listener DMs and I'm like, oh, well, I'm no good after that. So going into today knowing that, I'm like, all right, well, I have tissues locked and loaded.
Yes, throughout today's episode, you will be hearing from some very special people. We asked you all to send in messages telling us about the movies that made you fall in love with movies, the ones that made you a cinephile. So you will hear several voicemails and emails that we got from you amazing movie lovers, and I can't wait. Before we jump into the episode, this is the end of WCA as a podcast, but shameless plug, which I'm not very good at, but I will always love talking about film as I continue to write and produce them. So if you haven't tired of me just yet, you can follow me over on Substack. I will be writing about film in any and all capacities, whatever happens to be on my cinematic mind at the moment, listicles, reviews, comparisons, you name it. You might even read from a few familiar voices eventually, I don't know. But substack.com/thesimbatattoo. I would love your support and a follow. It's completely free at the moment and everybody is welcome. Follow me over on Substack.
I'm so proud of you. Good job.
Oh, thanks. I might edit that out.
No, you won't.
Today, we will be keeping it, for the most part, light and sweet. We have fought for 4 years over the movies that we love and the ones that we didn't. But for this episode, we are writing it in stone. We will each be building our WCA Mount Rushmore. Over the course of this pod in 5 different categories, because our mountain is fucking awesome and we have to be different. Each cinephile will be etching their individual choices into the side of this gigantic mountain that we've built during the show. So some of these choices, I'm sure you listeners who have heard every single episode and every single fight, you could probably make for us. So there might not be any surprises. There might be. Having listened to our taste this entire time, you probably get it. But here are the 5 categories: genre, director, performer, and this can be an actor, an actress, or a single performance from any creative, your choice. One defining cinematic moment, and last but not least, one movie. So these are straight from the gut, our personal choices, no vetoes, no powers, no replacements, just the 4 of us discussing the things that we love one last time.
I would like to use a veto.
Damn.
I never got to the whole, like...
That is not true at all.
So I just feel like today would be the day.
Interesting. Never got to is a weird way to phrase that.
I just never did. I really liked y'all's choices. I don't know.
You really liked our choices, or you never had a backup choice?
Don't make me produce a clip right now.
Whatever.
But before we keep it peaceful, one last showdown, one mini showdown. This is something that I wanted to eventually move into had the show kept going. On this podcast, we covered two mini series during the show. This is WCA. We talk movies all day, every day. But now we will quickly be fighting to build a list of the top 10 TV shows of all time.
Ten's crazy.
Ten you bitch.
Is crazy.
Ten? You bitch.
You hear that, listener?
Rashawn.
You'll never have to hear this again. Rashawn is
deck you.
You told us to bring in four each, which we assumed would be like 15. We'll shave off one per.
I brought in like six just in case.
I have a list.
There's going to be overlap. You all know this.
Yeah.
Y'all are basic. Okay. Three quick and dirty fights. Four enter, we get rid of one. And then the last round we will pick from the graveyard for our 10th and final show.
Okay.
Okay.
Let's get through this quick. We got a lot to do. This is not a TV show podcast, y'all.
Okay.
We're not placing them, right? It's just 10 loose.
We will be placing them.
Placing them's going to take so long, Rashawn.
No, it won't. Not if everyone just does what I say. Okay.
Succession is not going to be number one.
One, two, three, and four. Okay. The order for round one is Josh, Lacey, myself, and Mella.
Okay.
There's a spreadsheet if you want to follow along.
Fucking, oh my God. Okay. Me?
Yes, sir.
Bob's Burgers.
Fleabag.
Doesn't stand a chance. Martin.
I will go I Love Lucy.
Damn. Whew. Okay. Alright, votes to veto?
Votes to veto.
You're right, Rashawn. My vote's for Martin.
I know.
Wait, it's Bob's Burgers.
Bob's Burgers, Fleabag, Martin, I Love Lucy.
I'm gonna go Bob's Burgers.
You haven't even seen it.
I've seen a few.
I did love and enjoy the movie, but I'm voting for Bob's Burgers.
I would vote for Martin.
Now what, Rashawn?
We have a tie.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Didn't plan for this.
All four go on the list. All four go on the list.
Or do Bob's Burgers and Martin go into the veto list, and then we just...
Yeah, let's do that.
We pull as many that we need from the veto list at the end.
I didn't think I was going to be sweating this episode.
Yeah, same.
Jesus.
Okay. Our next fucking order is... Mella, Lacey, Josh, Rashawn.
I'm going to go Friday Night Lights.
The Office.
Fuck it. Barry.
Succession.
Okay. I will vote for Barry.
Wow. Two for two. That's awesome.
I vote Friday Night Lights.
Friday Night Lights.
I'm sorry, I haven't seen it.
And I haven't seen Friday Night Lights, so.
Damn. Sidebar, I don't know how you haven't, because you would absolutely love it, but.
This is a tie again.
Say it.
I vote Barry.
Unreal. I have yet to have a TV show enter the list.
The Office and Succession go on the list.
I'm.
Next round.
Holding my tongue. So bad.
Lacey, Josh, myself, and Mella.
Pushing Daisies.
Aw.
Yes, Lacey. Finally.
Watchmen. Say it, Mel. 3 for 3. Why not, right? I'll just let you veto all of mine.
I finally watched it.
No, you didn't. They removed it from Max. So, now what?
I got it on VHS.
VHS, she says.
30 Rock.
Boy Meets World.
Oh, I go first?
Pushing Daisies, Watchmen, 30 Rock, and Boy Meets World.
30 Rock.
I actually haven't seen any Pushing Daisies. Sorry, Lacey.
I'll do 30 Rock.
Boy Meets World.
30 Rock gets the axe, dude.
I'm shocked.
Oh, I'm so excited. Pushing Daisies is on the list.
Okay. We have...
two more?
Well, no. We have our list.
Oh.
We need to fill two more slots. Three more slots.
Three more slots with a pile of five.
Yes. Or we could do one more round.
Wait, but I want... I like the ones in the vetoes, though.
Let's do one more round. Fuck it.
Okay.
So the vetoes are gone. Vetoes are gone.
Mm-hmm.
Ah! Yeah, it's my...
Let's put it out there. One more round.
One more round. This is it. And if two get vetoed, then they can fight.
Yes. Order is Josh, myself, Lacey, and Mella.
I gotta be me, dude. Archer.
Okay.
You, Rashawn.
The Leftovers.
Ooh. Is it me?
Yes. There's two that I'm thinking of. Say it. What do you think of when I say it?
You only got like two more.
The spooky one or the not spooky one?
I would assume the spooky one.
Both I'm thinking of are a little spooky.
Both you're thinking of are a little spooky?
The Mike Flanagan?
Yeah. That you would bring.
I don't know what you're talking about. You're throwing me off. I have fever head right now.
Just say one.
Okay, I'm going to say... Midnight Mass.
I was thinking that or Over the Garden Wall are the two that you'd say.
Oh. That doesn't stand a chance.
I'm going to go with Girls.
My vote goes to Girls.
I vote for Girls.
I vote for Archer.
I vote for Archer.
She doesn't even know what it is. Listeners, she doesn't even know
what
it is.
Well,
it ran for like 10
seasons. It's Cartoon Guy. Cartoon Guy.
We don't have a single animated show on the list.
I know. That's shocking.
Shout out to Courage the Cowardly Dog.
Okay, so what, do we bring in one more? Is that it? Yeah, no, Archer's gone.
Yeah, so we have one more space.
Do we? Uh-uh.
Yeah. We have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. We need one more.
Okay, so we all vote for one to bring back in?
Yes. So our vetoed shows are Bob's Burgers, Martin, 30 Rock, Barry, Friday Night Lights, Archer, and Girls.
I vote Bob's Burgers.
Can we vote for our own show that was formerly vetoed, or do we have to vote for someone else's?
I don't know. I don't care.
Fuck it. Yeah. And I vote for Bob's Burgers.
I would vote for, or I'm going to vote for Martin. You're joking!
You're full of shit, Mel. You wouldn't vote for Martin. You would vote for Friday Night Lights.
Well, does it matter?
Wait.
And you didn't, the only reason you did that is because you know Rashawn would vote for Martin, and you didn't want Bob's Burgers to get on the list, so you want another fucking deadlock.
Rashawn's not voting for Bob's Burgers.
But if you would vote for Friday Night Lights.
Didn't you guys join together to vote for Bob's Burgers? What are you mad about?
Hello?
That's Lacey's favorite show, and it's my favorite show.
Martin is one of my favorite shows. What are we doing?
That's what I'm saying, is Mel doesn't want it on the list, so Mel picked Martin knowing you would pick Martin. Because if Mel had picked Friday Night Lights, Bob's Burgers would have won and been on the list.
I love that you think I'm so strategic, but
Can I make an offer?
Yes.
Sure.
Midnight Mass, I put on the list, but it is a mini series, and I would happily take it off the list to put Bob's Burgers and Martin on our list.
I love Midnight Mass, but if that's your choice and if you want to, I will not.
It got its whole own episode. Let's do it.
I also love Midnight Mass, but I love Bob's Burgers
too. It did get a whole WC episode.
It did.
Deal.
There you go.
Sorry, Mel, an animated show got on the list. Sorry you can't co-sign the whole list now.
Oh, Joshua. My favorite show is not even on here.
Sorry, it's a kid's list, Mel.
Wow. You hear that, listeners?
Yeah, people don't forget. You have you're the one that called animated movies kid movies. People don't forget. People don't forget.
Boy Meets World is literally right there. For children. Thank you very much. Hello.
All right. Top 10 TV shows of all time in no particular order because we're moving on. Fleabag, I Love Lucy, The Office, Succession, Pushing Daisies, Boy Meets World, Watchmen, The Leftovers, Bob's Burgers, and Martin.
Wow.
Are you happy, Josh?
What do you mean? No.
You threw a tantrum.
Yeah.
He has to for one last time.
Because I was about to get iced out of the goddamn list.
It happens. All right. There are top 10 shows.
Happens to the best of us.
Not to me. Not to me, it doesn't.
Well, welcome to the pot, bitch. Any honorable mentions?
Courage the Cowardly Dog. Golden Girls, my favorite Sick Day TV show.
I had that on there, too.
Bitch. I love my Golden Girls. I think I talked about it once at one point while on the pod, but I fucking love Downton Abbey. I have rewatched the entire series like 3 times. I will watch every movie they put out. I love Downton Abbey.
My two are two ongoing shows that are a little too early to call, but if they keep up at the same pace that they're going, they're going to be my favorite all time, and that is The Last of Us on HBO and X-Men 97.
And Abbott Elementary.
Yes, dude, and Abbott, yes.
Cute.
I had Weeds, New Girl, the Jamie Foxx show, in the category of Martin Jefferson's Good Times, Fresh Prince of Bel-Air, Black sitcoms Reign Supreme, mm-hmm. And because it's still ongoing and the quality is like a little debatable, I did not put Grey's Anatomy. But that's it. Number one show.
I'm shocked.
Just got renewed, didn't it?
Season 21, baby. You can't call it Jason Voorhees.
You can't stop him.
Okay. Let's get to the meat of this show, shall we?
Yes.
Our cinematic Mount Rushmore for When Cinephiles Attack. We are going to start with genre. I feel like this was probably the easiest one to call, so I put it first. Mm-hmm. I don't know why I sat here and debated about this, which one to put on, but my genre will be horror.
Of course.
Raise your hands if you're surprised.
Yeah, this one's going to be a fucking... You could listen to one episode and
guess no. Yeah, surprising no one. Romantic comedy.
Surprising no one. Action.
Surprising everyone. Just kidding. Animation, obviously.
She says German surrealism.
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome.
Our first message comes from a listener by the name of Adam Summy. It reads, "Hey y'all, I only just found your podcast last year, but it immediately became one of my absolute favorites. Love listening to y'all fight about movies and passionately defend the ones you love. Sad to see it come to a close, but can't wait to see what you all do next. As for the question of which movie made me fall in love with them, my answer is possibly a bit of a weird one. For me, it was Tron Legacy. I'm now studying to become a film composer because of how much I love that score. Seeing it in theaters when it came out was genuinely a life-changing experience that sent me on a trajectory I'm on right now. Gonna use this as an opportunity for a stealth Q&A if possible, since I missed the mailbag ep. What are some of y'all's favorite scores and or film composers? Sorry, I did not prompt you this.
That's fine.
For me personally, some other notable shout outs would be Howl's Moving Castle and Nope.
Yes.
Thanks for sharing your friendship and love for the film world. Best of luck with whatever you do next. Thank you, Adam.
Adam or Sean collab incoming.
New pod.
I meant, no, fuck that. I meant on a movie, bitch.
Right. Oh, yes. I would love them to come compose. Okay.
So, I don't know if he's going to keep this in, but as Rashawn said, he didn't prep us for this question. So, this is all, this is a gut check. Two came to mind. Fucking Dune 2, obviously. Lacey, can you hit the note? Are you too sick right now?
The note?
The Dune 2 note. Let's go, dude. And then Trent Reznor's Social Network score is fucking perfect to me.
Go with me. I'm just going to fire him off. Number one with the bullet, Nicholas Britell. Agape, number one track, but also Succession, Moonlight, Underground Railroad, even fucking Don't Look Up. He did that. Emil Mossery, Hans Zimmer, Michael Abels for Us, Justin Hurwitz for Babylon, Ramin Djawadi for...
Hey, Rashawn, you know what to do.
Ennio Morricone, the repurposed score for The Hateful Eight. Labyrinth did great work on Euphoria. Max Richter for The Leftovers. And that's it.
Woo! It's like you've been waiting.
Yeah, that shit locked and loaded.
It's one of Rashawn's favorite topics.
That was actually a showdown I wanted to do for the longest time, but it just never...
You would have fucking dominated.
Most recently, I loved the Poor Things soundtrack. I am going... Probably not going to say their name correctly, but it's Jerskin Fendricks did... the score. It tickles something in my spicy neurodivergent brain. I love listening to it when I'm working, when I'm writing. The Shape of Water, Alexander Desplat, is my rainy day soundtrack. If I wake up and it's cloudy outside, that soundtrack goes on immediately. And then, of course, John Powell for How to Train Your Dragon.
How could I forget?
I feel like I am new to knowing the difference between score and soundtrack, and living with Rashawn, he has definitely locked it in my brain as to what is what, and now I can walk out and be like, damn, that score was heat. but a few that I feel like I watched more recently that like actually stuck out to me was Lost in Translation, Her, Sanctuary, and what was the other one? Bones and All. I feel like the sound design in a lot of those were just like really crisp, plus with the score it was just like little crunchy music to my ears. So
thank you, Adam. That was
thank you.
Love a little stealth question.
I can't wait to hear the music you make.
I know.
See you on a red carpet, Adam.
Her.
Our next little head on the Mount Rushmore. They are head. They little face. Yeah. Our next little president is director. What is your Mount Rushmore director?
Jordan Peele.
With a special mention to Park Chan-wook and Billy Wilder and Barry Jenkins. I can't have one answer. I'm sorry.
You did this.
My choice will be my guy. The King of Sickos, David Fincher.
King of Sickos, dude.
Guillermo del Toro.
Yes. Yeah, this also was the hardest one for me. So special shout out to, unironically, Ben Affleck. And obviously Christopher Nolan. But my number one director is Denis Villeneuve.
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome
Hey, it's Nick. I'm calling from Dallas. I honestly can't remember the movie that made me fall in love with film. There are a lot of movies that I watched as a kid, especially Disney movies. But anyway, I did want to pop in real quick to congratulate the four of you on an amazing podcast. And thank you for allowing us listeners to listen in. Rashawn, thanks so much for allowing the world to hear Carm's contagious laugh. Which, by the way, for many of us who grew up with Carmilla and Laredo, we know her as Carms, not Mella, so still getting used to that. But beyond your amazing ability to keep us entertained, it was truly an informative show, and I truly felt that I was sitting around the living room having a conversation with you all. From Rashawn's deep perspective of film, like identifying identifying character flaws of an animated fish with memory loss, or Carms and Lacey's swooning of the Wizard of Oz, which taught me a lot about cinema history and ethics, which is crazy to learn about. To wholeheartedly agreeing with Josh that Bruce Almighty is one of the best movies ever, which if you saw the deleted scenes a million times like I did, my favorite saying to this day is, maybe you had a little too much wasabi in your sashimi. To even the disagreements I had with your perspectives on films, I cannot understand how you all were perfectly fine with the barbarians' twists and plot lines and boobs, but not okay with the same conflicting plots in Spirited. It's a little contradictory, if I may say so myself. But anyway, that was the beauty of the show. I truly felt like a part of the family in every episode, which is a testament to your production and skills as hosts. Anyway, just wanted to wish you all much success in your journeys, and I look to hear more about the amazing things that you lovely people create. Thank you so much for all these years of One Cinephile's Attack. I can't wait for the next creative journey. Much love. Bye.
Next up on the crazy looking heads on the mountain is our Mount Rushmore performer. Actor, actress, single performance.
To me, I feel like this was the hardest one because it's like the best performance out of just any movie. What made me choose this person was the fact that you can say this person's name and this performance is the first thing you think about. And that's like, if you haven't seen the movie, if you've seen the movie, this is just what you think about. And my answer is Reese Witherspoon as Elle Woods. Mm. Whatever she does, as hard as she tries, I always see a little bit of Elle Woods in a different performance. And I think that's just, some people would say like, well, that sucks, but I love that performance. And I think that is like her crowning moment of her career. And this was just like a no-brainer for me.
So this person, weirdly, we haven't talked about them much. We've talked about them a little on a couple of specific episodes, but for quite a long time, in my mind, this person is probably the best actor I've ever seen ever, and it has yet to be usurped. And that person is Philip Seymour Hoffman. I think in terms of range, I think comedy, drama, action, thriller, I think he is probably the most versatile actor to ever walk the earth. I'm going to 10 toes down for Philip. But the one performance that always sticks out to me is Mission Impossible 3. He is so fucking scary in that movie, in a role that could have just been kind of a throwaway villain. I think obviously you have his performances in Capote and Talented Mr. Ripley and all those, but the way he made a mountain out of a molehill in that role in Mission Impossible 3 to me is prime Philip Seymour Hoffman, and he is my number one. forever and ever.
We haven't really talked about him. That's crazy.
Mm-mm. We talked about him like on the Moneyball episode because he had a tiny role in that, but we didn't. We've just kind of never done a Philip Seymour Hoffman movie.
What would we fight about?
Master. Shout out to the Master.
Oh, yeah. Shout out to the Master, dude.
Woo. Boogie Nights. He's very good. Boogie Nights. I had the most trouble, I think, with this choice. Made the category, but I also didn't really know what it meant. like, is it a performance that I love so much? Is it something that inspired me? And so I kind of went with an amalgamation of the two. And choosing in the very, very last minute before it comes out of my mouth. And I think I'm just going to go with, you know what? Shocker. I'm going to go with Jada Pinkett Smith. This is someone I know. I have favorite actresses. I have a roster of favorite actresses. But this person has appeared in two of my favorite films of all time. And her performances in both of those, I think, are, if not underrated, just not talked about enough. I think what she does in Set It Off and the opening of Scream 2 is kind of momentous for me personally. And if she's not a performer that I bring up all the time on showdowns and episodes or whatever, I think what she does in those two films affected me in ways that I still am processing as a creative person. At Stony and the center of Set It Off, she's like the heart of that film, and she's part of a great ensemble of four Black women. Yeah, so I just want to like put her on this mountain as someone who has affected me and who I think has maybe not gotten as much praise as her superstar mega husband, but I think she's incredible in everything she does, from like The Matrix Reloaded to Jason's Lyric. Nutty Professor. She has a stint in Gotham for a second. She's one of the few final girls. She dies in Scream 2, but she's one of the few final girls in horror with Tales from the Crypt, Demon Knight. So I just want to give her flowers, because I think the conversation, especially as of late, has gotten off track from something that I'm just really have no time for. She's funny. Fucking Girls Trip, A Low Down Dirty Shame. She's great. So I'm going to put Jada Pinkett Smith up there.
Let's go.
I don't think this will surprise anyone. Brittany Murphy is and forever will be my idol. She's the reason I wanted to become an actor. Even though her career was cut short by her very untimely passing, she did such an array of work in her very short amount of time. She did comedy, she did thrillers, she did drama. She was and is the epitome of what a performer is to me. And I'm always in awe of what she does, what she did on screen. I will always, always love her, and I will always hold her up as untouchable as far as an actor.
Mm-hmm.
Not for nothing. We just, the Folie à Deux trailer came out last night, which I'm super hyped about, annoyingly so. couldn't help but think that she would have been.
Oh my god. She would have ate that shit up.
She would have been perfect. Yeah. Perfect.
Gonna be real glad there's no pod in the fall, because I'm gonna be fucking annoying. And I hated the first one.
We're gonna get a text from Rashawn. Do you guys wanna jump on?
I don't know, get back and record one more. Let's have mics.
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome.
Okay, this next email comes from a listener we know very well, if not in person, through our interactions with them through social media and the podcast. And that is a listener by the name of Jax. So Jax sent us a very long, beautiful email, aside from this answer that they're about to give, that was just so incredibly touching, and we're grateful for. But they said that this was specifically for the episode, so I will read this one. It says, Hi, WCA crew.
So the movie that made me love movies is one y'all talked about already, Ocean's 11.
Hmm. Let's go, Jax!
Just had to give Josh one on the way out, huh?
Woo!
I saw it when I was probably between 8 and 11, and it blew my mind. It was the first time that a movie took me along for the ride as I watched not just the characters, but me get tricked by the con. Having a movie mess with the audience's perspective and trick me as well as the bad guy was just so crazy, and I've been chasing that high ever since. It made me appreciate that an audience member is also a part of the movie, not just a passive observer, and I just think that is so incredible. Thank you all for everything, Jax.
We love you, Jax.
Jax, I can't, I just can't tell you what your email meant to me, what it meant to all of us. But yeah. I was deeply, deeply moved and deeply touched by your message. And I'm so grateful that you've listened. Please connect with us on social media. I feel really, really lucky that our paths have connected. Thank you for taking the time to share with us.
Mm-hmm. You had me crying in the Chick-fil-A sign.
Now go back ahead. To Ocean's 11. That's the great thing about heist movies. Let me tell you. So
you got your episode, bitch.
Go listen to Ocean's 11 episode, yes, sir.
Not the about the monologue. About the...
Yo, a good heist movie? That's why I love them. If they can fool you as the audience, brother, nothing better.
Ocean's 8 clears. Oh, my God.
Oh. Ugh.
Ladies did it better. Oh, my God.
Ugh, brother. Ugh.
And you have to agree, because who's the star of that movie, Josh?
Oop. Oop.
Who's the star of that movie, Josh?
Brad Pitt. Brad Pitt.
I also just want to take a moment to shout out Kimba and Ryan Berry. They're not just great listeners, but they are all around beautiful and amazing human beings. They also sent a really touching message, and they just absolutely deserve the world. Not everything has to be read on air. I don't want to share something that they gave to us, but I did want to address them personally on the mic and say thank you for allowing us to be a small part of your journey, and I wish nothing but love and joy for you both. So safe travels back home to Perth. I don't know if I said that right. Perth.
Newlyweds. you can just say Perth. It's okay.
No, no.
Say it one more. I literally try to fix my mouth and it says Perth.
Perth.
No, you can say Perth. It's okay.
Perth.
It's really okay. You can say Perth.
I don't think he can.
I don't want to speak for the Australians.
Okay, I'm sorry. 1, 2, 3, Perth. Yeah.
They sound the same.
Uncanny.
Is that Hugh Jackman on the mic? Oh my God.
We got him for the last episode.
He recorded a voicemail.
Blew the whole budget.
Every donation went to this.
A cameo from Hugh Jackman.
Much love to both of you. Thank you so much.
Thank you guys.
Okay. Our next crazy head, Stonehead, is a defining cinematic movie moment.
I think this was actually the hardest one for me, because how do you possibly choose? There are so many
right
cinematic moments that like blow my mind in every movie I see. But if I'm being true to myself and I am looking for a cinematic movie moment that like will always resonate with me, it has to be the Beast's transformation in Disney's Beauty and the Beast.
No, no, please, please, please don't leave me. I love you.
Belle confessing her love for the Beast, the rain, the incredible score and music underneath, the animation is just, it's magic. Like, it's movie magic to me. We don't need to talk about what the Beast looks like once he's human, but...
Hot?
We can.
You two like him?
Absolutely.
Yeah, girl. Of course I do. Look at him.
He looks like Patrick Wilson in Phantom of the Opera, dude.
You know I'm in.
Yeah, that scene, it is. It's the epitome of movie magic to me.
100.
It will always resonate with me. It will always touch my heart. Yeah.
Very good.
This one, oddly enough, was the easiest for me. Like, I thought of this one in a second. I didn't second guess it once. It's from an episode we did on the pod, Rashawn. It is the You Can't Hurry Love scene from Bad Times at the El Royale.
Ooh.
How much more can I take before loneliness will cause my heart to break? Now I can't bear to live my life alone. I grow impatient for a love.
To me, that's just movies. Like, the tension that has, the editing, the story behind it, the character development, all of it is just like, from the second I watched that for the first time, it's been burned into my brain. It's on YouTube. Every now and then I'll just go back and watch that scene. To me, that's the best movie moment, best movie scene I've ever watched. I think it's perfection.
Yeah. The fact that Cynthia Erivo, her voice, like, scores several moments in that movie is...
It's unreal.
That is a really good one.
Yeah. And it's perfectly edited too. Just the cuts to the hammer and the floorboard. Like, oh, that's movies, bitch.
Rashawn kind of called this one for me, and I was like, you know what? Okay. And then I started just like thinking about more, and then I'm like, what am I even fucking thinking about? Of course, this has to be my answer. It's obviously Dorothy Gale opening the fucking door to Oz.
Oh.
I mean
yeah.
What? I mean, of course. What else would it be for me? It could be this, and it could also be her singing Somewhere Over the Rainbow, but I would like to categorize that in, like, best, I don't know, musical moment in a movie. So, it's cinema. It truly is. It's a clip that is going to be put in one of those, like, cinematic, like, top 100 cinematic moments. I think this is, like, an often used clip. The score right there, the fact that, like, for a second, we don't even see her face, and we just see what these people have created. That is Munchkin Land. What is Oz? It's brilliant. It's brilliant. I can't believe I even second guessed it. So, yes.
And the fact that it's practical is my favorite thing.
Right.
It's so cool that it's.
Yeah.
It was her stand-in in a sepia-toned dress, and then switched to her. Like, I just love that. I love that.
I didn't even say it like. You know what? I wasn't even looking at her. I was like over the couch. I was like, oh, I thought it was going to be Dorothy. She's like, what? She got silent for like 10 minutes.
Then she hit you with the, since you got your degree.
And you know everything.
Fucking literally.
She literally said like, that.
Okay, well then, fuck.
You know everything. Yeah, I think this was a no-brainer for me that I also kind of maybe... ran away from, tried to be like different, but it's the moment that as an adult kind of confirmed everything for me, who I am as a person and my identity, and also what I love about film and why I want to make film, and that is Juan teaching Chiron to swim in Moonlight.
Give me a head. Let your head rest in my hand. Relax. I got you, I promise. I'm not gonna let you go. Hey, man, I got you. There you go. 10 seconds.
No, like, you just don't know. Like Josh said, when you watch it in the theater, you don't realize that this moment, how this moment's working on you and what it's doing with, like, James Laxton with the cinematography, Nicholas Britell with the score. and Barry behind the camera just kind of working together to create this moment that means so much. This is the moment that defines the film. I love Moonlight so much. And this, I had four different moments from this movie, but this is the moment that changes Chiron for the rest of the movie and the rest of his life. And it's definitely changed me. So I had to go with this moment from Moonlight.
What a list, partner.
Seriously. Can I give an honorable mention really quick?
Please. Mm-hmm.
I went through a lot of movie moments, but I like one that I think encapsulates movie magic, and I think I can speak for all four of us, that this montage at the end of Babylon is like the epitome of movie making, and it is tragic and frustrating and magical and invigorating. And I mean, that montage at the end perfectly sums up the entirety that is Babylon. And I think, Rashawn, you said it in the episode, the message of like, yeah, and I would do it all again. Like, it just, ooh, I'm gonna cry. Just like with the pod, I would do it all again with you three. And I love you. And okay, move on.
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome.
This next email comes from another mainstay on the pod, and that's John from CT.
Ooh, what up, John?
What it do, John? Dear cinephiles, film has always been a very crucial part of my life. From an early age, my generation was practically indoctrinated by screens. We were the iPod generation, after all, where it became so hip and accessible. Soon, the iPhone unanimously took over, taking its rightful place in our pockets, always with us, ready to captivate and awe at a moment's notice. In some ways, this just made the big screen that much bigger. As a kid, I loved to explore the woods. Every rock had a story and every stick could fit any scenario I could dream of. The woods was my first improv class. I'm an old man with a walking stick or a famous drummer or a knight with a sword. Sword? Whoa. The possibilities were limitless. This same sense of wonder I found in The Iron Giant. With the town being very similar to my own and the fact that I was almost the same age as Hogarth when I first saw the film, I quickly fell in love with this world, and of course the giant along the way. I also happened to be a big fan of The Incredibles at the time, so finding out that these two uniquely different films were by the same guy, Brad Bird, led me down one of my first behind-the-scenes rabbit holes, needing to know more about this director and following his trajectory in the years after. The Iron Giant, and to a lesser extent E.T., where creatures are able to show magnitudes of emotion through body language and only a few words, as a shy kid, I empathized with these characters and the arcs they underwent. While it's been a great ride getting to know each of you, your film preferences alongside your personal hobbies and off-mic activities, we've come to the end of the road. Whether it's Josh always managing to come up with new rules...
Clarifying does not mean coming up with. Sorry.
Here you go.
Lacey choosing emotion over reason.
New tattoo. Fuck.
An on point yet sassy Rashawn rationalization. Or an off base joke causing Carmela to cackle fiendishly in the background. From game shows to special guests, you've always managed to give your listeners something new and inventive to look forward to each week. I loved every second you guys have filled my ears over the past 4 years, and while deeply saddened to leave you at this juncture, I'm sure you each have wonderful plans and futures ahead of you. Yours from Connecticut, now residing in Boston.
What?
John from Boston.
What a Boston.
No longer John from CT. Out.
Aw.
Anyway, Sean, play the trailer to every Matt Damon and Ben Affleck movie ever made.
Joshua.
Smashed into one.
Well, I don't think I'm going to do that.
You really want Invictus to be played on this podcast?
I saw this shit in the theaters. Of course I do.
Sicko.
I'm a sick freak. I saw Invictus, okay?
We're going to get you the help you need. Don't worry about it.
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome.
So y'all niggas wanna wait till last motherfucking episode to have me on the motherfucking mic? That's what's hood, Rashawn. That's what's good, bruh. That nigga Sam been on there like 4 times, nigga. And he white. like white. Like, this nigga's from like Iowa. And he been on there 4 times. Is it because he has a better jawline than me? Is that what the fuck this is? You know what I'm saying? Rashawn, I was one of your leads in your play, nigga. What are we doing, man? Celebrities were in the audience and they fucked with your play. I had something to do with that and I couldn't get on the mic. Okay. Do you see how niggas do? See how niggas do? What would I have to do? Walk on water, nigga? Anyways, I love what the fuck y'all niggas was doing. I'm sad that this show is going away. Wait a minute. I'm here for a question. Oh, yeah. Cinema and shit. All right. I'm going to say The Lion King, Blade, because I was a young black kid seeing a dude do martial arts, a black who looks like me hunting vampires. I'm a big Buffy fan, but Buffy ain't had no niggas on the show. You know what I'm saying? I mean, Joss Whedon wasn't fucking with us. They had Kendra for like 2 seconds and then she died. Like the fucking, they replaced her with Eliza Dushku. Like you replaced me with Sam, Rashawn. Anyways, I love you. I cherish you. I value all 4 of you. You guys are incredible talents. Rashawn, when this shit come back in video, you know what? Maybe you're waiting for it to be on video. So then my sexy ass can be on the screen. You know what? I'm gonna hold you to that. You know what I'm saying? I love you, all 4 of you. Keep shining. Can't wait for this shit to come back. But I know the next adventure is only going to be greater and bigger. Love you, Rashawn. What the fuck? Why wasn't I on here? See? This could have been entertaining. I'm entertaining, nigga. I could have been entertaining. Remember that. I bet you I'm the best message of this episode, too. The fuck? How come it took y'all so long to give Macaulay Culkin love? Home Alone and shit. The fuck? Like, he is the GOAT of child actors. Don't, y'all gave him 5 minutes, like Josh Whedon gave niggas.
Okay, we have come to the end of our crazy mountain. This last little head is going to be our Mount Rushmore movie.
Crazy.
Never made it to the pod. And I've never gotten an outright answer from my dear friend Rashawn about this movie.
This pod could not end without talking about this.
But it is. It's tattooed on my body. Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind is and will always be my personal Mount Rushmore of movies. I think it is incredibly performed. It's a career performance from Jim Carrey and from Kate Winslet. It is impeccably written. The direction of it is, I mean, we don't get a lot of movies like it. It's the kind of movie I've seen this movie over a dozen times, and every time I watch it, I can find something new. I discover something about a character. I discover something about the story. I think it's just the most beautiful depiction of what love can do, what love can be. I really don't have an adequate amount of words for it. I think it's a masterpiece, and it's number one.
Can we get a definitive answer before we go?
Sure.
What do you think about Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind, Rashawn?
I think it is a fantastic film that I happen to not fully like.
So you don't like it?
I do. I have complicated feelings about it, but it's because I think that's the movie working its magic and doing what it's supposed to do. But a testament to career best performances, I don't like the main characters. And maybe that's the point of the movie, but there's never a point where I feel like they worked together, which kind of hurts me understanding why it hurts so bad that they can't be together. Does that make sense?
Yeah, that is the reason why I love it.
Okay. And that's not a fault of the movie, but for me, that's a hard shell to crack for me as a viewer. Because I want...
But there are...
No, we got closure.
Mini episode, let's go.
No, she can rebut. Okay. She can rebut.
Okay.
We're never going to get to do this again. Go ahead.
But there are moments where you see why they work and why they're tender with each other. And, I mean, the whole monologue Clementine has about as a kid and not feeling pretty and... Like, we don't get to see the full scope of their relationship. We only get these vignettes, everybody's favorite word, from their relationship. But in those moments, for me personally, you get enough. You get enough to know why the two of them need each other. And even if they're not supposed to work out, they did for a certain amount of time, and I think the tragedy in the story is the erasing of each other, and I think that's the heartbreak of the story is, like, even if they weren't meant to work out, even if they weren't meant to be together, that doesn't mean that chapter of their lives shouldn't have happened, shouldn't have existed. And, you're wrong.
That's fine. That's fine. I'll be wrong. But take something like Blue Valentine. Also two people who should not be together. But I always go to the moment, you always hurt the one you love, when he's playing the ukulele for her. That's a moment in time where I get, like, I understand their synchronicity. Like, I get why they should. That's, it's such a quick moment, and then the rest of the movie is them falling apart. And I you know, I'm an emotional movie watcher, I think, and sometimes I miss that from Eternal Sunshine. I watched it recently because I just needed to. I don't know what we were reviewing or doing something, but I watched Eternal Sunshine right after, and I was like, I just need to crack it. And I think it's fantastic. It's an amazing screenplay. I can't find a way in.
That's crazy to me. That is,
I know,
just
that's why I never wanted to do it, because I can't vocalize why, and it would be a frustrating episode for you.
Look at that.
Wow.
I love
Hatchet
you.
Buried, kind of, but the handle's sticking out just a little.
It's, yeah, you, I was like, it's hurt. Still...
The ones you love. The ones you shouldn't hurt at all, Sean.
I know. Hey, let's celebrate that. I never put on the spread.
So okay. Who's next?
Who's next?
My Mount Rushmore movie, again, tried to get around it and not choose it, but it's Scream. There's no shock there. There's no shortage of words on this podcast of why that movie is so monumental and important to me, and kind of, I always say, DNA reorganizing for me. It just completely altered how I look at film and why I want to do this for the rest of my life. So I won't belabor the point. Scream and all six, maybe seven movies.
Nev's back, bitch.
Yeah, I don't know why I was going into this last episode trying to be fresh and new. My favorite movie of all time is The Beauty and the Beast. Clearly. That's... Mm-hmm. What do you know, Josh? An animated movie. It's something that I feel like... I feel like I just have so many favorite movies, but this is like number one with a bullet. I loved it as a kid. I love it as an adult. I love it as an old woman. And I think it's just, Lacey, you kind of touched on it even in that last moment. I feel like with the Beast transformation I'm talking about, I feel like I can say that about the whole movie. It's just like, it's got the score. It's beautifully animated. I mean, it has an Oscar. Like, there's just so many things that I think are just brilliant about it that, like, whenever I watch it, I feel like my heart is just so warm and fuzzy. And that's just, that's got to be on my Rushmore.
So mine wasn't as a surefire pick as everybody else's. I've switched favorite movies quite a lot. Like, even my Letterboxd top four is kind of always rotating. So I narrowed it down to three. And I'd seen all three of these at least once in about a year's time. And then I thought about, well, which one have I rewatched? And I had only rewatched one of those three more than once because I wanted to watch it, not because I had to. And really, when I think about it, gun to my head, if someone's like, you have to rewatch a movie right now, first answer I would give is this movie. It's not Dune 2. It's not Bad Times at the El Royale. Editing Rashawn, I know you still have the file. Play the air trailer at 3x speed. My Mount Rushmore movie is Air. I don't care. I fucking love this movie. It has, like, no action, which just seems counterintuitive, but I don't give a shit. It's just got crackly dialogue from two of my, like, top five favorite actors ever. It's about basketball. It's got the classic motivational speech at the end. The soundtrack is bananas. It's my comfort movie. It makes me feel good. I like to watch it. It makes me smile, like, start to finish. And if I had to, like, rewatch a movie forever till the end of time, it would probably be Air because of those reasons. Like, it feels good to me. I like it a lot.
I didn't expect that, but it makes sense.
Me either.
No. Go back to my letterbox, scroll down, find my first review of Air. What does it say?
Loved it.
It says, watched, hearted, 5 stars. This is my favorite movie.
He meant that shit.
That is my first ever review of Air.
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome.
Hey, this is Michael calling. If I had to pick one movie that made me fall in love with movies, I think the most accurate answer is Sam Raimi's Spider-Man 2. I saw it in theaters when I was like 7 years old, and that horrifying Dr. Octopus scene scared me so bad, I had to like leave the theater and I refused to go back in. And then the next week, I begged my parents to take me back and to go see it. So I absolutely loved it, and we'd watch it over and over again on DVD. My brother and I would especially watch like the bonus features on the DVD, and they showed them like attaching cameras to zip lines and how they puppeteered Dr. Octopus's like tentacles and how why that hospital scene was so freaking scary was like actually the sound design more than anything. And we like studied this and think that's like kind of my introduction to things like cinematography and practical effects and sound design and all those things I still love in movies to this day. So yeah, I think that would be the movie I'd have to choose for making me fall in love with movies. I also just wanted to say thank you guys for this podcast. Like, I've legitimately gone back and listened to that Chicken Fingers, Born Identity, whole laugh attack thing whenever I'm having like a bad day. But seriously, it's just been so much fun hearing you guys have a lot of fun every week. It's a blast. So I also want to say best of luck and to all four of you on your next adventures. Also, I know this is like a long message, so editing Rashawn, feel free to cut any of this out, but I wanted to take a second to snitch on my brother while I have a chance. Everything Jordan told you about hyenas in Toronto was a lie, like meant as an elaborate prank on me. So if you feel up for it, feel free to yell at him on my behalf. All right, thanks a bunch, you guys.
I love it. We did it.
Oh my god.
Whew.
We
have
it.
Mount Rushmore. Now, we would not be ending the show the right way if there was not one last producer twist.
Oh my god.
Rashawn.
Because yes, while we have been building our own personal Mount Rushmores, we have also been putting forth choices to build one singular WCA Mount Rushmore. Now, there are no powers, there are no vetoes, there are no replacements, but we do need to come up with one choice for each of these categories to represent our show.
This is a bummer.
We can negotiate. We can compromise.
Okay.
These four mountains are etched in stone. They are what they are. But as for the show, we do need to put forth, the budget only allows for one Mount Rushmore.
Yeah, okay. Just start on the top.
Am I good?
However you guys want to do it.
Let's just top down. Let's do it.
Top down? Oh.
Okay. Like, genre.
Sorry, that usually means something different for me. Anyway.
Oh!
Me too.
All right, so genre, what do we think?
Fuck. How are we supposed to pick that? How are we supposed to pick one, Rashawn?
What I feel like we have to, like, what is one of these four, right? That, like, we all, like, okay, we enjoy? Have to watch. Yeah, like, if that's the lineup, you know you're just going to go directly to it.
Why don't we start by chipping away at some? Right?
Okay.
Admittedly, if I'm going to be honest, because I threw a fit in the beginning of the episode, I'll be real right now. I think animation and action are probably out because it's not a 4 for 4. You know what I mean?
That's so funny. I was going to say, if we're going for 4 for 4, like what the four of us would go see in a movie theater, I think it would either be action or horror.
I was going to say horror.
Horror is what I'm leaning towards. And if we're talking about the pod and us four, it's probably horror.
Yeah. We're all like spooky dookies, so I feel like it's...
Also you. Because we see action a lot, because action are like the big tentpole summer blockbusters that I just reserve you guys tickets on AMC Stubs and I don't really check in and you just show up.
Because it's your birthday and I love you.
Thanks. Yeah, I find an excuse to go. So my gut for this one probably says horror.
I'm okay with that.
Okay.
Okay, that was easier than I thought.
This one's not. This next one is pretty tricky, I think.
Yes. So our choices for director are Guillermo del Toro, Jordan Peele, Denis Villeneuve, and David Fincher. I think we can eliminate David Fincher. I don't know if that's an across-the-board pick.
Yeah, I think so too. My gut says Peele, but Guillermo is a pretty solid choice as well, I think.
I would also say I think Villeneuve is not an across-the-board pick.
Yeah, there's some contention with a handful of Denny flicks, if I can be so professional about it.
So it's between...
I think if we're going for what the four of us would agree on, it would be Jordan.
Yes,
over Guillermo.
Guillermo.
I could hear a Guillermo argument.
I could hear an argument for Guillermo.
I don't feel like with Guillermo we would have a 4 for 4, but I think with Guillermo, since he's mine, there is one movie for each of you of his,
right,
that like you would say, yeah, I could get behind Guillermo. Yeah.
He's made an action movie. He's made a romance. He's made a horror film.
Right. The issue comes down to sample size, because Jordan only has his three, but he's hit three home runs versus Guillermo's. You know what I mean? So like, that's where the debate comes down to.
I would also say we already have horror up there. Not that Theo isn't like really horror, but I feel like Jordan has just been horror. So I would say
that's the argument with the eclecticness of Guillermo's, exactly, of his catalog. I kind of like Guillermo. Get up there, Theo.
Get up there, Theo. Jeez, ow, Theo.
Okay.
My silly, creepy little man.
Great. Our choices for performer. We have Brittany Murphy, Reese Witherspoon in Legally Blonde, Philip Seymour Hoffman, and Jada Pinkett Smith. This one's pretty easy to me, but...
I would go for either Brittany or Philip.
Oh.
Oh, I thought the lock was Reese.
I did too.
I thought so too.
Holy shit. Okay.
I think that's the one that we can all... Like, yeah, that is a movie star single performance that is inarguable.
Okay.
Yeah.
But I'll hear Philip as well.
I mean, yeah, Phil, it's kind of the same. I think this comes down to the same thing as Guillermo versus Jordan Peele, obviously, because Reese is laser targeted to one, obviously, because Reese is laser targeted to her one specific performance. But yeah, because I mean, Philip Seymour Hoffman, I didn't, you know, if I had to pick one, I just gut checked Mission Impossible 3. But I mean, I think that's what you said. It's Reese Witherspoon is Legally Blonde. I think an 80-year-old in the middle of nowhere, Tennessee, knows Legally Blonde the same way that like a 10-year-old in New York City knows Legally. Like, I think Legally Blonde is like it kind of surpasses.
Mm-hmm.
Versus like Philip Seymour Hoffman, some people you have to be like, no, he's the guy, you know, in Twister, you know. So I think Reese Witherspoon, I think, is like,
okay.
Elle Woods is one for the lexicon,
yeah,
for sure.
Okay.
Cinematic moments.
This is a good one.
I genuinely feel like it's got to be Bad Times.
Why? I mean, I don't disagree. I thought everyone was gonna lock in on Wizard of Oz on this one.
I mean, I love Wizard of Oz too.
This one's fucking hard.
I don't
hard.
Know. I just think these are all so good.
I don't know.
Should we just vote?
Just pick one that isn't yours.
Yeah,
let's do it.
I vote for Bad Times.
I vote for Wizard of Oz.
I vote for Beauty and the Beast.
It's Rashawn! It's no! Up to you, producer! Let's go! Let's go! I think we're all happy with any of these choices. So truly, take it home.
Okay. Part of me is like, well, this list is very modern, but other part of me doesn't really care about that. Well, if I'm producer, I choose Moonlight. I will go with, because maybe I can just count this as like a victory for me too. I will go with the very recent, but also very creative and cinematic, You Can't Hurry Love.
Yeah.
I do love that moment very much.
Yeah.
With the cuts between the glass and you see Dakota Johnson walking through
her eyes. Yeah.
Ooh.
This one's locked on the count of three. 1, 2, 3. Air. What?
Go, no, pitch, it, pitch, it, pitch it, Josh.
No, this one's a lock. This one's Scream, right?
Oh.
Am I crazy?
I think this is Scream or Beauty and the Beast.
Yeah, Scream or Beauty and the Beast.
They both are like so much in my life. Those two.
Yeah.
Sorry.
So it's very, I mean, not in a bad way, of course not, but I feel like I'm literally wearing a Ghostface clip right now. Like, it's just ingrained in my DNA at this point. So
I know it might feel redundant to have horror and Scream at the same time, but my argument for Scream is I think personally that's kind of like, yes, it's a slasher, but I think it kind of surpasses genre. I think it's so fucking funny and it's so subversive that I think Scream kind of goes beyond just a horror movie. I think it might be one of one, at least when it came out. That I think it goes beyond, and like Beauty and the Beast is like the pinnacle of Disney golden year. Like, it's funny, it's got action, it's got catchy songs, it's got drama, whatever. So I'd be happy with both, but my gut, in terms of us and like who we are, I don't know. We just give off a more Scream vibe to me than Beauty and the Beast.
Cast yourselves.
In what?
Original Scream. Who are we all?
Jamie Kennedy ass up there.
I think I'm Drew Barrymore.
Yes!
Tatum as fuck. What do you mean?
Yeah, you are 100% Tatum.
I feel like I'm one of the two killers.
Like, I would love to be Sydney, but I'm probably Randy.
You're Randy.
You are Randy.
You're Randy. the sad, like, I don't mean to let you down, but you're Randy.
What about my long brunette hair? my love for jean jackets.
Okay. I think I'm Stu.
If you're Stu, then I'm fucking
Billy. Yeah, because y'all were fucking behind the scenes. That's the deleted commentary.
Well, then if we're gonna do that, we have to cast ourselves in Beauty and the Beast.
Oh, I'm Chip.
Here he is.
Oh, it's fucking cute.
I feel like I'm like the master of ceremonies. So I'm probably Lumiere.
Yeah, for sure.
Mm-hmm. Melibel is Belle. It's in her name.
Belle slash, slash, specifically when the mob is at the castle, the wardrobe.
Fuck yeah, let's go.
If Rashawn's Lumiere, then I gotta be Cogsworth. No, I'm not so self-serious.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're not. He's pretty uptight.
See, I would have put Rashawn as Cogsworth, where he's like, let me show you. Statue. If it's not,
fuck.
What is it? Like, I just feel like you're very like uppity, you know.
You have never heard me clear my throat.
You literally just did at the beginning.
Pre falling in love with Belle Beast.
Just eating.
Eating and grumpy. Pre falling in love with Belle Beast.
Can confirm on the table manners. We're still working on it.
Oh, for sure. There's nothing to work on.
Still would hit though.
we're stalling. What are we picking?
What do we choose?
It feels fitting though that Beauty and the Beast would be ours too as a Disney movie.
I cast my vote. I vote for Scream.
Ooh.
Don't make me text Sam. We promised he was done.
Yeah, we did.
Don't rope him back into this.
Beauty and the Beast.
You can't vote for yourself, girl.
Oh. Then Scrim.
So then it's
up to Lacey.
It's up to Lacey.
You're literally asking me to Sophie's Choice, two of my favorite children.
What child has produced the podcast?
Oh my god.
Not me throwing my weed around on the last episode.
No, but my gut reaction was it should be Scream. So I'm going to say Scream.
Yeah. Movies like Scream are kind of the reason we started doing this. You know.
Yeah. I mean, it wasn't it like...
It's like the second episode.
We
did. Yeah. We did it.
Sorry for that little twist at the
end. Woo!
That wasn't as painful as I thought it would be.
Cause our dogs are tired, man.
We can't fight anymore.
It's been four years. Screaming.
So you've heard our individual mountains, but the Wind Cinephiles attack Mount Rushmore. Our genre is horror. Our director is Guillermo del Toro. Our performer is Reese Witherspoon in Legally Blonde. Our defining cinematic moment is the You Can't Hurry Love mirror sequence from Bad Times at the El Royale. And our movie is Scream.
Look at that, dude.
Seems fitting. Yes.
Carve that shit into a mountain.
Nice.
Get to work. Are y'all ready to sign off?
Let's do it.
Woo!
After 180 episodes, 142 movies, 28 listener requests,
12 irreplaceable movie loving guests, showdowns, gauntlets, ransom notes, top list. We say goodbye to you all. These past 4 years have been more than we could have ever imagined. You made the four of us feel so welcome into your speakers, into your lives, if only for a moment. Whether you agreed or disagreed, if we annoyed you, made you laugh, cry, roll your eyes, you have been with us from the beginning, and I've always said, this is nothing without you, and it is all because of you. To my three co-hosts, thank you from the bottom of my heart for taking this journey with me. I know that it hasn't always been easy. I know that I've annoyed the shit out of you. I have sent you guys so many spreadsheets, so many formats, crazy. Rules. It's crazy. But I hope it was always worth it. No matter what happens, the four of us, no matter what, we will always have When Cinephiles Attack. So we did this together. It's ours, no matter what happens. And for that, I am so incredibly grateful that you have been placed in my life. So thank you.
Woo!
I didn't cry.
At least not today.
I heard the voice cry, fish. I heard it.
Signing off as your four favorite movie fans who will one day absolutely see you at the movies.
Let's go.
From Rashawn.
Mella.
Josh.
And Lacey.
Thank you all so much for it.
Fuck.
I win!
Thank you all so much for being with us. And...
Editor Rashawn, play a slowed down version of the exit music.
And like a minor key. Like,
violin. Not
the teaser trailer.
Yeah, interspersed with like a hip hop song that's been like really chopped and screwed. I'm like.
Bye, you guys. Thank you.
We love you. We love you, Rashawn. We love everybody.
We'll see you around.
Except for the late, horrible Ronald Reagan.
Joshua.
The true villain of this movie, as is all movies, is Capital
Coraline.
No!
It was amazing, right?
No! Got it, Rashawn.
I told you I was going to do this. She missed the whole pin fight.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to When Cinephiles Attack. Four years later.
I'm a professional.
That was the best episode we've ever
2 hour episode.
What the?
That was a good one, guys. I think we got it.